Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Post Office Secretary Congregation, 9,000 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 24, 2017, CBS 7, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Joshua. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. This one knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yeshua. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Yeshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Yeshua. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No, not so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Yeshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Yeshua. No, not one. No, not one. Did every saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Our sinner find that he would not take him. No, not one. No, not one. Yeshua knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yeshua. No, not one. No, not one. Was e'er a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Yeshua knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yeshua. No, not one. No, not one. Holy One, Part 3, Isaiah Chapter 1. For the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Yeshua has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. For the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass is master's crib, that Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Yahshua, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel is Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that He has made to inherit. He gave this earth for His Son's inheritance, and His Son owns this earth. Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Now this is indicting all of Israel from the time that Israel came out of the wilderness, came out of Egypt in about 1500 B.C. with Moses and Yahshua leading them. What did they do? They made it in the third month to Mount Sinai. They made it to Kadesh Barnea, right outside of Mount Sinai, about 10 miles. And what did they do? They rebelled. They started their rebellion right there. Within 3 months after their deliverance out of Egypt, they started their rebellion. And this is what Isaiah was talking about. He's talking about all of Israel. Even though Isaiah come along about 1,000 years. About 1,000 years after Israel came out of Egypt. But still, he's talking about Israel from his day on. He's really not talking about, except he is saying that Israel has always gone backwards ever since they were created as a nation. Alright. So he says here, Isaiah 1:4, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Yahshua, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are going away backward. Alright, so we have Isaiah 5:24, collaborates that as well. Isaiah reiterates this. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as death, because they have cast away the law of the Yahshua of the host. They've cast away His law. What is His law? His way is in the sanctuary. Yahshua's way is in the sanctuary. That's where His laws are at. They have cast away the law of the Yahshua host, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. They despise His law, and they despise His word. And so now, in Isaiah 9:18-19, let's go look at it. It says, for wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickest of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of the smoke. Through the wrath of the Yahshua the host is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand and shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. So now it says that there in Micah 7:6, let's go read that right quick. It says, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against the mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Matthew 10:35-36. It says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Luke confirms this very same thing in Luke 12:53. He confirms the same thing. It says that the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the beat just keeps going on and on and on. But Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah chapter 1, as we continue to read now, and verse 5, it says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed. Now they're bound up, now they're mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion's lips is a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Yeshua of the host had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Who went down to Sodom and Gomorrah? There were three men that met Abraham along the way, on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Yahshua identified, Abraham identified Yahshua as one of them. And now, in Romans 9:29, it talks about that Sodom and Gomorrah. Right there, Paul, those Roman Gentiles. He's telling these Roman Gentiles, he said, man, it's bad. He said that, and as Isaiah, said before, except the Yeshua of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Then he goes on in verse 30 of Romans 9. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained unto righteousness? Even the righteousness which is of the faith. And what did I say you add when you read that word faith? Faith and the blood of the Yeshua. So there it is right there. Romans 9:30 confirms that the Gentiles have to also follow the same law of the salvation for their soul as was given unto the Hebrew nation. And that was the sanctuary system, the law of Moses, that the blood offering that has to be offered for the remission of sins, in order for one to have salvation in any way, form, shape, or fashion. But it goes on there, it says in Romans 9:31, but Israel, which followed after law of righteousness, hath not attained unto the law of righteousness. Alright, now what is Moses saying about this law of righteousness? What did he say? There in Deuteronomy 6:24-25, he kind of nails it down. He says that, and the Yeshua commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Yahweh or Elohim. See, the Son commanded Israel, the Son himself, to do all the statutes for the fearing of the Father or Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. So who is this he? He, Yahshua, that Yahshua might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. Whose commandments? The commandments of the Son, Yahshua. His ways in the sanctuary, Psalm 77:13. He said, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments for the Yeshua our Savior as he hath commanded us. And in Deuteronomy 24:13 we have more emphasis on that. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be a righteousness unto thee before the Yahweh thy Elohim. There shall be righteousness. So any kind of right doing that you are, which is according to the law of Moses, there's a law that covers every type of thing that deals with right doing. And so, just like this right, in any case, so if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his plague. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Yahshua thy Savior. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land, within thy gate. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shalt the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Yahshua, and it be sin unto thee. For the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And Ezekiel 18:20 backs that point up. It says in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 24, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take the widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Yahweh the Elohim redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. We go back to Isaiah chapter 1. It says in verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Now, what is this talking about here? Today, there are fires burning right this very moment. Somewhere in the world, we have out of control fires burning in California. That after a while, the news media just quits reporting it. It's burning on, burning down forests and houses, and it is just devouring the land. But the country is being made desolate. This is going on right now. Why does this happen? Why do these things happen anywhere? Because of the wickedness of the people. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. It's no different than being overthrown by strangers than having Yahweh send a fire and burn up your cities and burn up your houses and put you out hiding in the rocks and the hills and the caves. Isaiah 1:8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Yahshua the host had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So I had read this once before, but let us continue now, verse 10, Isaiah 1. Hear the word of the Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom. Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. Well, now I want to tell you something. In the type, Sodom made a choice to go to the left, and Abraham went the other way, stayed in the country. Sodom went to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family went to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because his wife, she liked the lights of the city and she loved the socialism, being able to have to socialize with the evil people of the world. And it says, hear the word of the Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our Elohim. What does it mean, give ear unto the law of his Elohim? If there's no law being taught there, if there's nobody representing the law, then how could they give ear unto the law? Yahweh did have a man living there. He had Lot living there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a law-abiding citizen. He taught his family to be law-abiders right there living in the city. So he represented the law of Yahweh right there in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the reason why Yahweh passed judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he wouldn't give ear unto the law of Yahweh that he had planted a servant right there in their midst. And so that's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. To what purpose, verse 11, Isaiah 1:11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said to Yahshua? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When he comes to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my course? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is also an abomination unto me. I added the also. For the new moons and the Sabbaths, for the calling of the assemblies, I cannot tolerate them anymore. Away with them. It is iniquity even in a solemn meeting. That's on the day that you meet every year at the solemn assembly. That's for the sanctifying of the congregation that has come through the atonement. So he said, away with all that. Even the solemn assembly. You didn't come through the atonement, so you don't have any need to have a solemn assembly either. And that's in Jeremiah 7, 9, and 10 also talks about that. Jeremiah 7, 9, and 10. Okay, let's see. It says that, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Brother Johnson, in Gilead Center, we would meet on every holy day, there at the temple, there in Kermit, Texas. Brother Johnson would get up in the front, and he'd preach his sermon, and he'd take that he'd taken all week to perform, but at the same time, his family and all the members of the congregation were practicing abominations and idolatry during the week. And all the time, Brother Johnson, the prophet in Israel, over the candlestick of Laodicea at Kermit, Texas, would be studying all week to get a sermon prepared. To deliver, he wanted to get the best that he could deliver, and he had to depend on Yahweh to give him his message for the hour, and he did give a lot of good messages, I'll tell you that. Brother Johnson, he preached new stuff every Sabbath, he had new stuff every Sabbath, and I took and paid attention to it. I would take his tapes and I'd play them over and over and over and over. They were that good. Now, I'll say one thing. It took him all week to do it, but he would get together a good sermon. But nevertheless, he wouldn't condemn the abominations that was being practiced. So, in Jeremiah 7, 9 and 10, it says, verse 10 again, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Well, you delivered us, yes, sir, you delivered us in 1970. And, from all these abominations. But we continued in them, and we come and stand in your, we've been standing in your house for 33 years. Coming every holy day, stand in your house. Because we've been delivered from all them abominations. You delivered us 33 years ago. That was the thinking at Gilead Center. They were in the grand old ship Zion. They were in the Ark of Safety like they was in Noah's day. Those that went into the Ark, they were in the Ark of Safety. And so we've been brainwashed for so many years by the Adventist leadership that if you just remain in these pews, pay your tithes and offerings and don't break the civil laws of the land, and do what it says about being, do right to your neighbor, well, you're in the grand old ship Zion. You're in the Ark of Safety. Just stay in these pews, pay your tithe. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, yeah, the preachers don't want you to do that because they want you to show up every Sabbath because, number one, they want your tithe money. They want that money. That's their salary. If you don't show up and pay your tithe money, they're liable to get fired from their job. So they try to get you pretty good entertainment for you on the Sabbath just so you show up every Sabbath. But that's what Yahweh is talking about. He says, why are you standing in my house and say you're delivered? Because it says in Jeremiah 7:11, it says, in this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Question mark. Behold, even I have seen it, said the Yeshua. Okay. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Now, who is this talking about? Yahshua is talking about. He says, for go now unto my place, which was in Shiloh. And what does it say there in Genesis 49:10? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So Shiloh is another name for Yahshua. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. It says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, said Yahshua? I am full of the burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lamb or of he goat. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my court? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, for the new moon and the Sabbath and the calling of the assemblies. And I've read this before, but I'm going to read it again. I cannot away with it. He said it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Then it goes on to say in verse 14, your new moon and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. Ooh. So Yahshua just hated whenever they would meet on his appointed holy days. These are Yahshua's appointments. These feast days are his divine appointments for Israel. And he says, your new moon. He didn't say my new moon. Now Yahshua is the one that's he and the Father together created all things were created by the two of them. So he says, instead of saying my new moon, he says your new moon. So these are Yahshua's and the Father's new moons. And your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Saith Yahshua. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Yahshua has spoken it. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. We had verse righteousness by faith in 1970. Gilead Sinner was born. We had righteousness by faith established as our foundation. Foundation stone is founded upon righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yahshua, or the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he says in verse 22 of Isaiah 1, the silver has become dross. thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and falleth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the child of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith Yeshua, Yeshua the host, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first. Okay, and thy counselors is at the beginning. Afterwards, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Isaiah 62:11-12. Okay, now let's go read Isaiah 62:11-12. It says, behold, Yeshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion. And who is the daughter of Zion? This is the house of David. This is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. You realize that of the three feeding pastures, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, they didn't have that name attached to them as Mount Zion. They didn't have it attached to them as a location or referred to as a Mount Zion. Only the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Zion. Okay, behold, our salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yeshua, and thou shalt be called sought out a city not forsaken. Okay, that's the end of that. Let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 1. Okay, it says in verse 25, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Oh, we done read that. Okay, that's verse 28. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yeshua shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired. But weren't they consumed in Sodom and Gomorrah? Weren't they consumed in those cities and all the cities of the plain when they rejected Yeshua that went to them in person? He went to them in person. He was the one that went to and addressed Lot. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. For the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And now keep in mind, we're dealing with Judah and Jerusalem at this very moment, today. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house, Yeshua's house, the mountain of his house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now we're getting a little bit more of an opening up of our minds, a vision here, that Isaiah has been given inspiration to declare what's going to take place in the future. And so these were all new developments as they meet their fulfillment. So Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yeshua, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob. Okay, it says God of Jacob here, but we're dealing with Yeshua. And he will teach us of his ways. He will teach us of his ways. It says that we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Their swords in and nations shall not lift up sword against nations. Neither shall they learn war any more. So, we're learning war right now. And the nations are learning war right now. So where are we at? We're still before this time that Isaiah is projecting here in the end time. So it says there now in Isaiah 11, 6-9, we might turn to that and read it. It says, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua, as the waters cover the sea. Then in Isaiah 65:25 talks about this. It says that the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And there shall be the serpent's meat. It shall not hurt nor destroy, and all my holy mountain, saith the Yahshua. So now that's the, we go back now to Isaiah chapter 2, where it talks about the, O house of the Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistine, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of the idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the main man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Yahshua, and for the glory of his majesty. Revelation 6:15 gives us a little bit more information on that point by John the Revelator. Let's go look at it a minute. It says, And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now it says there in Isaiah 2:11, For the lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. So now we go to 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll read 4-5, and let's see what we got there. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Yahshua, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Yahshua's," that he, in other words, that he belongs to Yahshua, "let him of himself think this again, that as he is Yahshua's," in other words, as if he belongs to Yahshua, "even so are we as ones that belong to Yahshua. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Yahshua hath given us for the edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible, that such an one think this, that such as we are in the word by the letters, when we are absent, such will we be also in the deed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without measure, but according unto the measure of the rule which Elohim hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of the Yahshua, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, for the preaching of the gospel and the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorifieth, let him glorify in the Yahshua, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Yahshua commended." Okay. So, we've had plenty of that in the Adventist Church for the last 170 years. Men raised up one way or another in the Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of today, and commending themselves. Yahshua commends a man and he's rejected. Okay, let us go back now to Isaiah 2, and let's say, let's read verse 12. "For the day of the Yahshua of the host shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish." And believe you me, we dealt with the idols. We dealt with the idols down there in Kermit, Texas, abundantly. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, Yahweh said that the idols shall be utterly abolished. Well, in Isaiah 21:9 talks a little bit about that. Let's go look at that again, for the first time. Isaiah 21:9 says that, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Then, since this is a prophecy Yahweh has given us today to unfold, then we can conclude that Babylon is indeed fallen unto the ground. So, let's go now and read, Revelation 14, verse 8. Let's see what that tells us about Babylon is fallen, 14, verse 8. It says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and the presence of the Lamb. Now, in Revelation 13:16, it talks about this mark, and we'll look at that a minute. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his names. See Revelation 14:9. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Yeshua, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And you know what it says there in Revelation 6:15. We read that a while ago. It says, let's go read it again. It says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Once again, in Revelation 9:6, it says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And we go back to Isaiah chapter 2. And it says, verse 20, in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. But when they have Olympic Games, they give out medals to the winners. They give out gold and silver and bronze. And it's amazing. The first three beasts of Daniel's vision, in Daniel chapter 2, I guess, 3, 4, about those four beasts, the first three was represented by three medals. Precious metals, gold, silver, and brass. That's the same metals that they give to these idolaters that win first, second, and third place in competition. They get the gold, the silver, and the bronze. Isaiah 2, verse 21. To go into the cliffs of the rocks and the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Yeshua and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for whereof is he to be accounted of? And boy, I can go along with that. Because when I was with Verlis Johnson all those years, I ceased from man. I never did like the idea. I like the idea of Yahweh, meeting Yahweh's inspired messenger. I love that idea of being associated with someone that had was specially called by heaven, and that had a prophetic message and had an inspiration to teach present truth and where we were in a stream of time. And that I loved about when I met the Johnson. But I could never accept anything less than a representation of a true messenger like Isaiah and Jeremiah and all your prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, and then Daniel, and Hosea, and Joel, and Amos. All these men were humble men. A lot of them shepherds, they were called. But people have always worshipped men that has prophetic offices. That's always been all down through the ages. Because we know that's so, because in Isaiah 66, it talks about that when Isaiah closes out his book of 66 chapters. He said, here in verse 17, or verse 16, or verse 15, "For behold, the Yahshua cometh fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will Yahshua pleaseth all flesh, and the slain of Yahshua shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree, behind one leader, whether he's inspired or not, in the midst, eating swine's flesh," that means false doctrine, "and the abomination of idol worship, and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Yahshua. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them." This is in Isaiah 66:19. "And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. To Tarshish, Pul and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Avan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, nor have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." So what does that mean there in verse 19, where it says, "I will send those that escape of them"? Those that escape from these trees in the midst of their garden eating swine's flesh, from these here uninspired leaders that set themselves up as gods, as high above the people, and they want the people to worship them. Well, that's what we've always had down through the ages. House of Israel has always been that way. They wasn't always that way. They had different times when they sanctified. They were sanctified and purified by the truth, all right. But they soon fell away from it. They never could stick with it. So it says in Isaiah 66:20, "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots, and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts of my holy mountain, Yahshua, saith the Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Yahshua. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Yahshua." That's talking, I mean, from the Gentiles. Going to take of them also for priests and Levites, the leaders, with inspiration. "Whereas the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me." It says the new heavens mean he's going to create 12 more new heavens, like he did in the beginning. And he said, "And the new heavens and the new earth, for I will create new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Yahshua. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahshua. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be as an abhorrent unto all flesh. This brings the close. Let's start this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Wonderful words of life. Say them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach sweet faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Joshua the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love. Senderless to the loving call, wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Yeshua, only Savior, thank you, God the Father. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.